Queen Victoria had died in bed holding a crucifix. If there to ward off evil spirits, it was not powerful enough. She was being supported from behind by the Emperor of Germany, Wilhelm II, her dangerous grandson, his arm by her pillow. Immediately after she had gone, Kaiser Bill reflected, "She has been a very great woman. Just think of it. She remembers George III, and now we are in the 20th century." Cousin Willie, as the family called him, would do his bit to ensure that it became the bloodiest century in human history. Nor was his history accurate. Though Victoria was alive when George III died, and so provided a kind of human bridge to the age of Nelson and Samuel Johnson, she was just 8 months old at the time. Still, the length of her reign had been extraordinary. It made her death, coming so soon after the start of a new century, and though hardly a surprise, one of those moments which sent a shudder of awe through most of the world. In the year of her birth, 1819, Europe had still been adjusting to the aftermath of Waterloo. British cavalry massacred 11 protesters in Manchester. Keats was writing Ode to a Nightingale, and Beethoven was beginning his great Missa Solemnis. In the midst of all this, the pregnancy of the wife of old King George's fourth son, the fat, garlicky, sadistic and 50-year-old Duke of Kent, the greatest rascal left unhung, in the summing up of one contemporary, was of significance for only one reason. Though the British crown would pass to the atrocious Prince Regent, later George IV, there was then a problem. Of 56 grandchildren, not one was legitimate.